Earlier this month, the South African Revenue Service announced that it collected 986 billion rand of revenue in the 2014-15 tax year, around 7.4 billion rand more than the revised estimate. Against a background of dwindling economic growth, SARS has stepped up its revenue collection efforts and improved efficiencies. But what rights do taxpayers have? Today, I discuss this question with tax executive at ENS Africa, Dr. Beric Kroom. Beric, as an individual taxpayer, my employer pays tax on my behalf to SARS, and every year I fill in my e-filing form declaring all my income and expenses. Besides the information provided by my employer and myself, what other information do SARS have access to?
Inge, under the Tax Administration Act, SARS requires financial institutions and a number of organizations to submit what's referred to as third-party returns to SARS, containing information pertaining to the taxpayer to revenue. Now, that will range, for example, it will be interest earned on bank accounts, so the banks would have to issue what's traditionally referred to as the IT3, which will contain the interest earned on bank accounts, the balances, and that will go electronically from the bank to revenue, and that obviously has got the taxpayer's particulars on that. Your contributions to retirement annuity funds, my understanding is, and I think the requirement, there was a notice issued setting out all of these returns that have to be submitted by the different pension funds, institutions, etc. So SARS is getting a lot of information. It ranges from retirement annuity contributions, the medical aid contributions and other deductions, the sales of, for example, unit trusts. There are returns there which would reflect the income on the unit trusts, and also the realizations on disposal of the unit trust. So all of that information is going electronically from the institution to SARS to then cross-check and ensure that the taxpayer is reflecting that in their return.
Why is it important for SARS to have access to this information?
It's facilitating data matching to ensure that taxpayers are reflecting all the income that they receive from different sources. So it's really to ensure compliance. If I go back a few years, all of this was sort of happening manually. I worked at Revenue many years ago, and I remember the banks would send in all these printouts of the interest received by people. At that stage, it might have just had a name on and an ID number possibly, and SARS would then have to physically try and match that manually to taxpayers on the system. It's now going electronically, so that process of cross-checking information is a lot quicker, and SARS will then often identify that taxpayers have not disclosed interest. Sometimes what we see, for example, is we've had difficulties with a client. You submit a tax return, you show interest of 10,000, revenue comes back and says, but we actually know about more interest. What's happened? The client might have sold a property and there was funds held in the attorney's trust account and interest was earned on that, and that's forgotten. That's not deliberate, it's just an oversight. But SARS is getting that information and will cross-check it to ensure that it's properly disclosed, thereby ensuring that the income is properly reflected for tax purposes.
I'd like to move on to the audit process. In the 2014-15 SARS's annual report, there's reference to quite a number of audits the receiver conducted during the year on high net worth individuals, trusts, large and small business, tax practitioners, and also the construction industry. These audits can take quite some time. What rights taxpayers have in terms of communication and maximum completion times when audits are conducted?
Inge, you're absolutely right about the volume of audits. SARS will in a strategic plan also identify areas that they will audit where they see there is risk. And there is a slight improvement today. Before the Tax Admin Act came in, there was no requirement on SARS to report on the status of an audit. So what could happen is taxpayers required to submit information, they send it into revenue, and you hear nothing for 2 years, and then suddenly revenue comes back and says, please supply further information within 10 days. Which is unreasonable. What we now have is in the Tax Admin Act, there's a requirement that SARS must report to the taxpayer on the status of the audit every 90 days. And they're supposed to inform the taxpayers to the status of the audit, what information is outstanding, and try and give some indication of how long it may take to resolve or finalize the audit. The Now, when you see those reports, it sometimes is useful because it might help you understand what information is still required to bring it to an end. The problem often is you don't see those reports. Some officials will send them out, and in other cases, you just get nothing. And the difficulty for the taxpayer in that case is there's nothing in the law that actually sanctions SARS where they don't give that report, and that's a deficiency.
In terms of the maximum completion times, what does the law say anything about that?
Unfortunately, there's nothing specific in the law on that. It is difficult, I think, to prescribe a fixed period because the affairs of one taxpayer versus another are so different. You do obviously have the overarching provision in the Constitution of fair administrative procedure. A taxpayer is entitled to finality and should be treated fairly under the right to administrative justice. But I can't say to you that there's a definite time period within which the audit must be conducted. If anything, it should be conducted within a reasonable period. But too often, many audits take too long.
What about refunds due to taxpayers? Do refunds need to be paid within a certain time?
The Tax Admin Act doesn't, unfortunately, specify any period within which refunds should be paid. What is interesting, though, is there was the SARS Service Charter, which I think was first published in 2005. And the idea was that that document would be updated from time to time. And that set out the levels of service that taxpayers can expect from SARS. The SARS website has a reference to that document, but you try and find it on there, it's gone. What the service charter did say previously was, and I'm quoting from it, if a refund is due and owing to you, we aim to process VAT refunds within 21 working days of receipt, process income tax refunds within 30 working days from the assessment date, process 90% of all customs refunds within 30 working days of receipt, and where a refund is subject to review, you will be notified within 30 working days. And they were trying to stick to that. In my experience currently, we've seen too many refunds being delayed for very long periods of time. And under the Tax Admin Act, there's nothing specific you can say to SARS in breach of the provision, because there's nothing that actually regulates it. The only basis to challenge SARS on that is to say it's a breach of administrative procedure, and you can then follow the process to get ultimately to the tax ombud.
SARS also has the power to draw outstanding taxes directly from the taxpayer's bank account. In terms of the law, what rights do the taxpayer have when money is drawn from the taxpayer's account?
That's a difficult one. That's referred to, previously it was Section 99 appointments or agent appointments. It's now referred to as third-party appointments. The law at the moment doesn't require SARS to tell the taxpayer before the money is taken out of the account that they will take those funds out of the account. The way it works is there will be a tax debt typically that the taxpayer is indebted to revenue. Taxpayer doesn't pay in time. SARS should have sent out a demand for that. And the next thing, the taxpayer gets notice from their bank to say funds have been paid to revenue. SARS doesn't have to, at the moment, inform the taxpayer that that's about to happen, which I think is unfair. The other problem we also have is sometimes the taxpayer has a dispute with revenue. They request suspension of payment, and it goes into the organization. You don't get a response. And the next thing, SARS is taking money of the account, even though taxpayers ask for postponement of payment. Now, that's a contravention of the law, because if a person requests suspension of payment, that suspends the payment until a decision is made on that request. And there are problems there, because you can't file those requests for suspension electronically. SARS is aware of that. My understanding is they're trying to modify the e-filing that you can actually make these requests online. Because at the moment, it just goes into this void and you don't get an answer. And they then proceed to collect the tax where they shouldn't, actually. So there are some problems there. Because the concern clearly is if SARS has made a mistake on an assessment, the next thing, taking money out of the taxpayer's account, that's wrong. But the problem for the bank is if SARS gives an instruction to the bank to pay the money to SARS and the bank doesn't pay that, the bank is liable in its own capacity for those funds.
Would the taxpayer ever be entitled to an interest on amounts owed by SARS?
Typically, where there's a refund due to the taxpayer, there is interest payable to the taxpayer. That interest is at 5.25%, which is fully taxable. And similarly, if a taxpayer delays payment to revenue, there's interest payable, but that's at a higher rate, non-deductible of 9.25%. So in principle, where there's a refund due, interest is payable.
Is there any recourse available for taxpayers if they believe the receiver has treated them unfairly?
There are the processes that are laid down dealing with complaints. My understanding is that that process is under review at the moment, but the way it works at the moment is if someone is of the view that SARS has abused its powers or there's been a breach of administrative procedure, the first port of call would be the local receiver revenue office or to log a complaint with the call centre. If that doesn't resolve the matter, you then require to elevate that complaint to what's referred to as the service monitoring office, which is an office within SARS reporting to the commissioner. That was started some years ago. At one time, it was quite effective. In the last while, that doesn't seem to be as effective as what it was. If you then still do not get the thing resolved at what's referred to the SMO, the Service Monitoring Office, your port of call now today, and he was appointed in October 2013, is the Tax Ombud. And that office is there to assist taxpayers who have problems with SARS of an administrative nature, where there's been abuse, undue delays, etc. And there is a website which has got all the information on. There's a copy of the complaints form, and you'd have to submit that to the Ombud. They then evaluate the complaint and see whether they can deal with it. And they typically will try and finalize it once it's reached their office within, I think it's 15 working days. And we have taken a number of complaints to that office, and things have been resolved there. I have also received a letter of apology from SARS because of what went wrong. I think that was the second letter of apology in 30 years in practicing tax. The Ombud, to me, I would urge people to use that office. It is working, it is fully functional, and it is, in my view, fairly independent of SARS. Because the Ombud reports to the Minister of the Treasury and submits his reports to Parliament. So there's parliamentary oversight. And in fact, last year was the first report submitted by the Ombud, which dealt with a number of the issues you've raised. Taxpayers having problems with SARS. A problem that he kept running into was fraudulent e-filing profiles, identity theft, problems with refunds, failure to provide feedback on audits, failure to provide reasons for an assessment. That's also often a problem. So where taxpayers have those sort of issues, they have the right to go to the Ombud for assistance.
Dr. Barry Krim is Tax Executive at ENS Africa.